First message here under the tent, after hearing the wonderful songs and these precious friends that have traveled so far and to share with us the message of the gospel in song. How many of you, and this is not a trick question, but just a plain question, how many of you are tired tonight? Hold up your hand. You're just tired. Hold up your hand. A lot of tired people are here. Now, those are the people that are going to get the blessing. If you have not done enough today to make you tired, you don't deserve rest. And scripturally, that's right. Now, we're living in a time when people say, well, you know, I'm bushed. Well, if it's the right bush, that's wonderful. Moses never was worth anything until he got bushed. He went to school 40 years in Pharaoh's courts. He went to the wilderness as a convict and served a 40-year term or sentence. He was 80 years old. He wasn't ready yet. But he saw a bush. And when he got through looking at that bush, he was bushed. But you see, man turns everything around. If you really knew what the word bush means, when you say I'm bush, that means you're ready to get the Israelites out of Egyptian bondage. But that's not my message tonight. I've been thinking since I woke up this morning on a little word called R-E-S-T, rest. I want to speak tonight on restless. Just restless. Heard anybody say I had a restless night last night? Doctor, he was very restless during the night. My baby was restless last night. My wife had a very restless day in the hospital bed. This is a restless world we're living in. I do not know what all the Lord has in mind for the service tonight. And I know one thing he's promised me, and that's rest. He told me that I could have rest. One thing everybody's got to have if they live, and that's rest. You can go a little while without eating. You can go a little while without drinking water. You can go a little while without resting, but you've got to have rest. God made the night for us to rest in. American people haven't found that out, but that's what it's for. It was a sad day when man began to think he had to work on Sunday. God told him to work 6 days. But it's also a sad day when man decided he wouldn't work but 40 hours. You heard me. It's not 6 days. Not the kind of days my daddy hatched out. I wonder if that had anything to do with a tired world. We live in a day of aspirins and ulcers and hepatitis of the liver, cancer, strange diseases, psychiatrists, veterinarians. We got every kind of doctor in the world, and all of them specializing in one thing. We've got the foot doctor. We've got the brain doctor, eye doctor, ear doctor, nose doctor, soil doctor, air doctor. That's right. Air's polluted and doesn't call out an air doctor. Every kind of doctor you can think of, dear friend. Used to when we... We're in our little community called Dawson, or south of Dawson. We had one doctor, Dr. B.W.D. Hill, and he took care of all the needs from the foot to the head. Now we got a mind doctor. Didn't anybody have a mind doctor back there then? A bunch of us wasn't A++ pupils, but we didn't have to have no psychiatrist.
Come on. Yes. Brother, there's something happened to our country. Yes. And I'm going to tell you what it is tonight and every night for these next 14 nights. The world's tired. Fact is, the world's so tired that all she can talk about is being retired. Not sufficient to be tired, got to get retired. We didn't have any retirement program. We didn't have any Social Security. Didn't have any strikes either. I mean, everybody just went out and worked. Only strike we ever had is when my dad struck me. And that stopped my strike right there. American people haven't got a thimble full of sense. Craziest nuts on the face of the earth. Bunch of drunkards and dope heads and drug addicts and crazy people in the mind. America is becoming a great big glorified insane institution run by its own inmates. Tired. That's all you hear. I'm tired. And the thing is sad is people get up in the morning tired. That's when you're supposed to be rested. I'm going to tell you why in a minute. A lot of precious verses in the Bible which have to do with rest, real rest. We've lost our spiritual balance. We've lost our mental alertness. We've lost our physical health. Hospitals are jammed tonight, even at the pace of $54 a day for a room. $100 to get in the intensive care ward every day. Medicare is not the answer. Heavenly care is the answer. I believe we need to operate an intensive care ward during this meeting for sinners. Let's pray that God will save the hardest sinners in this city. Every sinner is a hard sinner, though. Just needs Jesus. Whether it's a little child or an old man. On Saturday night, the last Saturday night of this meeting, you'll hear that's going to be faith-building night. This coming Saturday night, I'm going to preach on the subject, where are the miracles? And I'm going to talk to you about what the miracles are. Now, I heard, I think, coming across town where the astronauts are going to bail out for the moon 1 month from today. They're going to land. It's going to take them 4 days to get there, and they're going to land on the moon. Somebody said that's a miracle. That's no miracle. That's no miracle. I'll prove it Saturday night. Gideon said, where are the miracles? If I'm a mighty man of valor, if I'm a man of God, then I ought to see some miracles. And I believe any man of God has a right to see the miracles. And if you'd settle for less than that, you've got nothing but a puny natural ministry that could help nobody. Amen. And I want to say right now, I am not a miracle worker, but I'm representing one that is. Amen. He's my father, and his darling son is my older brother. Amen. And I'm expecting great things to happen. Fact is, I'm expecting every person that comes in or around this tent to get every need met in his life because my Heavenly Father said he could do it. And I'd walk, fly, crawl, or swim to get here if I had some needs that had not been met. I'm expecting my needs to be met during this series of tent campaigns. You have your Bible turned to 1 Chronicles chapter 22 and verse 5. And this is where the message got born this morning. I was reading through the Bible, and I happened to come to 1 Chronicles chapter 22 and verse 5. And David said, Solomon, my son is young and tender, and the house that is to be builded for the Lord must be exceeding magnificent of fame and of glory throughout all countries. I will therefore now make preparation for it. So David prepared abundantly before his death. It's not hard to figure out that whatever preparation you make, you're going to have to make before you're dead. You'd say, Brother Olof, don't you feel there's a little ledge I can sort of hang on called purgatory and climb back out? Now, get me straight. I believe in purgatory, and I've already been. Anybody's been to purgatory will have to believe in it. I've been there. Some of you looking so strange like. Well, sure. David said, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I'll be whiter than snow. Dear friends, purgatory is on this side of the grave. You got to go while you're living and not after you die. You got to go to purgatory. And that's why we sing that old song, there's a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins and sinners plunge. That's purgatory. Purgatory. If you've never been purged from your sins, you need to be. You'll never have the rest I'm talking about. You'll never have the mental rest. You'll never have the spiritual rest. You'll never have the faith and hope that God has given me unless you do. Now, verse 9, behold, a son shall be born to thee, who shall be a man of rest. He'll be a man of rest. Folks, before you ever rest, you've got to meet the man of rest. You've got to meet the rest giver. Before you ever have peace, you've got to meet the Prince of Peace. Vietnam is a calamity and a tragedy, extending nearly 10 years in duration. Can you imagine a war going that long and nobody having won it by now? The whole world is confused tonight. Our leaders and our wisest men are frightened men tonight. Tired, weary men. Heart attacks scourge our country. And the men are running, and women too, to the hospitals and doctor's offices saying, check my cholesterol and see if I've got some. Why, there wasn't anybody in our county could have spelled that 40 years ago. I tell you, things have happened in our generation. We talk about progress, progress, me, I. We just made so much progress, we about ready to kill everybody. And those we don't kill are going to die soon. I tell you, we've missed it. I mean, we've absolutely gone away from the simple thing. I mean, from Him who has healing in His wings. But let's go on. I want to give you some wonderful scriptures. Turn to Exodus chapter 33. Exodus, that second book of the Bible. I like Exodus because it's where you get out. Exodus 33. People talk about the Bible being hard to understand. It's not hard to understand, just a little difficult to practice. In fact, it's impossible to practice till you get saved. That's what's worrying a lot of people. We've got a bunch of goats trying to live like sheep, and they need a new heart. I tell you, just rubbing your long hair off on the brush won't make you a sheep. I mean, just whacking off your horns won't stop you from butting. You got to get rid of your goat nature. Billy Sunday, that unusual Presbyterian preacher whose converts I still meet with that little fishing hook right there. Fishers of men. Let me tell you something. The preachers that had the most lasting converts had the deepest convicts while he's preaching. You show me a preacher doesn't cry out against sin, I wouldn't give you a dime for a cow pasture full of his converts. There's got to be some suffering, and they've got to get heavy laden and weary of sin. And then when Jesus saves them, they won't forget it. I think that's what Paul meant when he said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. There went your cigarettes. There went your liquor bottle. Oh, come on now, laugh at this one. There went your television set. There went Hollywood with all of its hell polluters and with all of its peddlers of poison and harlots and dope heads and homebreakers and homosexuals. I don't understand how a Christian preacher or anybody else could sit in front of Hollywood and praise Jesus at the same time. You say you're going to hurt your crowd, but I'll load your wagon before you leave. Dear friend, sin still sin. You don't want revival as long as you stand in front of an outfit 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 hours watching hell and everything that hates the thing I stand for and everything I do, including Jesus Christ. Not telling me you're not for him. You're not sold out. I mean, you're just fiddling and playing, trifling around. If you want revival, let God get rid of your sin and revival tide will flow over your soul. Exodus 33, verse 14, and he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I'll give thee rest. I'll give thee rest. Where does rest come from? He said, my presence will go with thee, and I'll give you rest. Now, there's one thing I want you to get tonight above everything else. What I'm talking about every night is a gift. You don't work for it, you don't earn it, you don't deserve it. He said, I'll give it to you. But I tell you, once you get it, I believe he'll work it out to somebody else. It's God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now then, there are some other verses. I believe I'll call your attention to Jeremiah chapter 50. Jeremiah chapter 50. That's the reason I want you to bring your Bible and mark it. I see people marking their Bibles all over this tent. And let me just inject one thing, and that is, I really want to be a blessing to these preachers that come every night. There's nobody that needs encouragement like God's preachers. And I hope to be the preacher's friend while I'm here. I'm not the voice of experience, but I've had some experience, and I want to help the preachers and encourage them. In Jeremiah chapter 50 and verse 6, my people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have caused them to go astray. They've turned them away on the mountains. They've gone from mountain to hill. They've forgotten their resting place. Now you wonder why people are so tired tonight. They've forgotten their resting place. I can't hardly wait to get to it. I know the resting place. Yes, sir. He said they've forgotten. And the sad thing is, folks and preachers, you know that if you're here tonight and come regularly and faithfully and believe what we preach, I'd have to believe in you. But we'll have to admit, God said right there, and Jeremiah's talking out loud, he said the preachers have turned the people away from the resting place. The people are tired because the preacher didn't tell them where to go rest. Or we go down the highway and you see a big sign say, rest area, 3 miles or 2 miles or 1 mile, rest area. You don't rest there. We talk a lot about rest. Doctor calls you in his office. He looks at you. He examines you. And he said, I believe you need some bed rest. I'm going to put you to bed for 30 days. You need some bed rest. Every kind of rest you can think about. Except the kind we're talking about tonight. And dear friends, remember one thing. You can't buy rest. You can buy a big bed and a nice bed, and that's a wonderful thing to sleep on. Hard as the floor, if you please, that's good. Get on it, but you can't buy rest. You can buy rest pills, but you can't buy rest. You may buy you some religion, but you can't buy salvation. Now you'd say, preacher, do you believe tonight that if the preachers would really come on back in the Word and preach it and then live it, do you believe we could have revival? Of course I do. God's always given revival when the preachers and the leaders got right. I want to read you one more verse, Jeremiah 23 and verse 22. Don't miss it. I believe I'll read 21 and 22. That's Jeremiah 23, 21 and 22. You couldn't have it any plainer than this. I've not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I didn't send them. I've not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they, that's it. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. Now, if you believe the promise, God simply said, if they had stood in my counsel, that's his word, had caused my people to hear my words, they should have turned them from their evil. God said, The way to turn the people from wickedness and sin is for the preacher to tell them about it. And then point the way to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, we're living in a time of sick people, of tired people, weary people. But I'm going to give you in just a moment the great chapter, the greatest chapter in the Bible concerning rest. And many of you have been disillusioned. And got the victory. And he came up a while ago, no smell of liquor on him, no smell of cigarettes on him. But listen, I do not believe that liquor drinking is the cause of an alcoholic. You'd say, wait a minute. No, no. I believe that's a result of a man not being right with God. I believe if a man gets saved, I mean saved and filled with the Spirit of God, I don't believe he'll have the spirits of liquor. I don't believe cigarettes, as bad as it is, and you'll have to weigh more than 147 pounds to hate it more than I do. I hate that dirty, damnable stuff. I've just come from where they make it, and where the big water towers are lined with Lucky Strike and all the rest of it. But it's still sin, it's a killer. People have come to me tonight, nearly knocked me down with their cigarette breath. Honey, you're not right with Jesus. You're not right with Jesus. You haven't been delivered yet. You don't have peace. You don't have that rest I'm talking about. You'd say, well, I just don't think it's any of your business. If it's sin, it's some of my business. I tell you, make it some of my business when they call me to the hospital and want me to talk through an oxygen tent while they try to get one more breath. They say, now, Brother Roy, can you come now? I believe he's dying. Oh, listen, I've seen friend after friend die and literally strangle in the filth that accumulated in their system called emphysema. That's all it is. That's all that is. It's just a bunch of filth that couldn't get out. You can't rest as long as you're full of sin. Turn in your Bible. I'd like to come to the greatest chapter. And I saw it today a little different from what I've ever seen it. It's in Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. Now, this is the foundation message, I believe. And no matter how tired you get, if you come to this tent night after night, I'll promise you a rest you've never known before. I know there's going to be some pulling back, and some of you are already wishing you hadn't come. That's the reason, that's all the more sign you ought to have come. When you lose the joy for spiritual things, why, when these precious singers sang a while ago and when they sing again directly, our hearts ought to cry out for a living Savior. And so in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 11 and verse 12, these are the verses that I want to share with you. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. He said, they're not going to get my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Now then, chapter 4, verse 1. Now chapter 4 is the great rest chapter. 9 times in this chapter, God speaks about His rest. He speaks about rest. He said, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Now, I do not preach fear. I preach faith, but this is a particular kind of fear. He said the only thing you need to be afraid of after you get saved is that you'd not cash in on all the promises. He said you better be afraid lest you miss something. I mean, don't miss anything. I mean, get in all my bank account. Get into the fullness of God. I mean, launch out where the full tides flow. And so he said in verse 2, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them. How sad. Now, stay with me. There's going to be a bunch of people that get blessed, and some are going to miss the blessing. There's not a businessman under this tent but what wants to show a profit this year. I mean, his life is built around profit. I want my business to show a profit. And there's a tremendous amount of pressure on every man in the business world. I've got to show a profit. And usually in our churches, we've got to show an increase in baptisms and church membership and reports and all that. I mean, there's a pressure. Now listen, the main profit we need is spiritual profit. And he said, the same gospel preached to them. Didn't profit them. How? Not being mixed with faith
in them that heard him. Now, if I cannot get you to mix faith in the messages that we're going to bring, I do not expect you to profit by them. I will not. I absolutely refuse, my right hand raised to heaven. I refuse tonight to try to preach sermons that the natural man can understand. And I didn't come to Dallas to get under this gospel tent and to share the financial burdens and seek to help God's people. I didn't come here to try to influence people. That's none of my business. God's people never have had a dime's worth of influence and don't need it. That's what's ruined us. I'll tell you, Paul and Silas didn't have enough influence to keep them out of jail, but praise God, they had enough power to pray their way out. That little old church back yonder in Bible days that walked and talked with God and started and stopped at His commandment didn't have enough power or influence, rather, with the people and the religious leaders to keep their pastor out of jail. You'd say, Brother Lloyd, you've got a great opportunity now to make a mighty blow against communism. We get the communists saved. That'll be a big blow against them. I got sense enough to know I'm on the main line. I wasn't no valedictorian or salutatorian. I was the second smartest boy in my graduating class. It's an awful small class, and there were two boys, and I was the one of them. I remember that very well. I'm not bragging about my ignorance, but I tell you one thing, brother. I know Jesus Christ, and He's our only hope, and He's soon coming back again, and you might as well get ready. Today is the day of salvation. And now's the time, Jesus said, come unto me. And you'll never get saved till you get to Him. I want to read to you the rest of this chapter. For we which have believed do enter into rest. That's the way I got in. I preached Sunday morning on getting in. 21 times in Ephesians chapter 1, he uses the word in. Getting in. Brother, you'll never have inside privileges till you get in. I hear people talking this day, said, I'm one of the in folks, you know. I'm a member of the in crowd. Me too. I really am. I'm a member of the in crowd, but I'm talking about the in Christ crowd. The Bible said, in Him you live. I'm a living. He said, in Him you move. I'm a moving. He said, in Him you have your being, and I got me a being. Brother, I tell you, living and the moving and the being. You know where? Jesus said, in Him you live and move and have your being. And you know what He said to Nicodemus? Nicodemus said, I want to know about the miracles, Lord. He said, you just do so many wonderful things. God's got to be with you. And He said, you know, you got to start being. Amen. A lot of people trying to make honey and haven't bees yet. That's what Jesus said. You say, that's not real good English. No, but it's good theology. It's good preaching. It makes sense, brother. A lot of you trying to live sweet lives and you not kin to a bee. Running around with the dirt gobbers. That's it. You don't find God's honeybees running with a bunch of bumblebees or dirt gobbers. You don't find them on set-down strikes either. They're always a-buzzing and looking for something sweet and hauling it straight to the bee gum. Little old bee flies around the world in just a few days. Did you know 25,000 miles before he stops his little wings and lays down to sleep and makes one teaspoonful of something sweet? And that's more than a lot of people have ever made in a lifetime. Brother, Jesus said, you've got to be born again. You'll never live a Christian life until you're born again. Join every church in town and be baptized and simonized and capsized and all the rest of it. You'll never get anywhere for God till you get born again. That'll be the theme and burden of my heart. Our churches are filled with people today that act like they don't know the Lord. The Bible said, by their fruits ye shall know them. He said, if you believe, notice, if you believe, and I want to get it, as I've sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Now, brother, they don't need me trying to finish His work. It's been finished. When Jesus Christ hung on Calvary's cross, He said, it's finished. Lamentation 3:14 said, I know whatsoever the Lord doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing be put to it, nothing be taken from it. The Lord doeth that men may fear. And I know one thing, God's sovereign, and He gave me eternal life, permanent life. And I tell you, any time, and listen, I not only believe, dear friends, that Jesus did a good job of saving, but He puts a persevering attachment on everybody He saves. And you better know it. You say, well, I tell you, I got saved a time or two, but I just didn't live it. You didn't get saved very good, buddy. You're not talking about my Savior, not at all. I'll guarantee you, if you ever get saved and wander off from sin, it'll break your heart and ruin your sleep at night. It'll steal your rest away from you, and you'll never have a happy moment walking down the road of sin after you get saved by the grace of God. I'd say this, the most miserable moments of my life have been after I was saved. You say, what? That's right. I never had many miserable moments. I was lost. I had no feeling at all. Dead in trespasses and sin. But when Jesus saved me and quickened my soul, kissed my sins away and recorded my name in the Lamb's Book of Life, when I wandered back or said something or thought something or did something that displeased him, oh, listen, dear friends, the Holy Spirit, bless his wonderful name, quickened me and convicted me and burned in my soul and said, you fall beside your bed or you won't rest tonight. Brother, there's no rest in sin. The wages of sin is death. Well, let's hasten to the close of the message. He said, for he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. In this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. And if you look at the eighth verse, for if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth a rest, verse 9, to the people of God. It's a rest, there remains rest. For he that has entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter in to that rest. I never saw that in it, and I don't say it in its full, and I'm sure now, but I saw something in that today. You know what we're to do? The Bible said we're to work with these hands and we have something to give to them that have need. That's the only way you're supposed to work. Average American, he works so he has something to keep. Stick it up. Store it up. Salt it down, if you please. Put in a saving. That's what the Bible said. The Bible said that there'd be no gatherings when I come. Listen, as long as you're depending on your bank account to keep you going, you're not depending on God at all. You may not understand what I'm talking about. You're not enjoying living by faith. The Bible said four times, Habakkuk, Romans, Galatians, and Hebrews 10:3, now the just shall live by faith. Most drastic life I ever saw in my life. Happiest life I ever saw in my life. Takes the fear, the stress, the strain, the fretting. I mean, just to know that God's interested in what I'm doing. This is his work, not my work at all. He said, let us labor, therefore, to enter in to that rest. Think about it. Working to rest. Working, laboring to rest. Lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Notice what he said. For the word of God is quick, powerful, sharper, and two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing the son and soul and spirit of the joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of our. Neither is there any creature that's not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then we have a great high priest. Now we're coming to the rest giver. We have a great high priest that's passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now then, I give you the two great passages as I close the message tonight. Jeremiah said, 6:16, stand ye in the way and see. Stand you in the way and see, and ask for the old paths, wherein is the good way, and walk therein, you'll find rest for your soul. There's only one way that you'll find rest, and that's in the good way. He said, now you can stand in the ways, as a bunch of those, but you better, and see, and he said, wherein is the good way, and ask for the old path, wherein is the good way. There's just one good way. And Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. Now then, let me give you the outstanding, the most colossal, sweetest, purest invitation ever given. Jesus stood and looked over a religiously weary world. He looked and saw people that were tied on to Jerusalem and religion and everything on earth except him. He realized that the crowd he faced would soon rejoice to the tune of those old hammers that drive those spikes through his hands. He knew he was facing a tired world. And he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly of heart, and you'll find rest for your soul. Now, folks, if you want rest tonight, I'm going to have to tell you where to get it. You've got to go to Jesus, and you've got to give up the thing that's made you so tired, and that's sin. Now, you can't sit there and nod your head and say, I'm not going to give up sin. If you do, I'll say you'll never have the rest that I'm talking about tonight. Amen. If you want rest, you've got to come to Christ to get it. He didn't say come to the church. He didn't say come to good works. He said come to me, and I'll give it to you. And I tell you, they haven't got a thing down here at this drugstore, any drugstore in town, that'll give you rest. The American people are going to sleep. A man, a millionaire, $50 million worth of property and wealth, he told me he had. And he said, every night when I get in tired and weary, I reach over and get me a sleep, a rest pill. And he said, that calms me down. Then he said, after a little while, I take one more and it knocks me out. And that's the only way I can go to sleep at night. Brother, that's a sorry substitute for what I've got. I'll guarantee you, when I walked out of that man's office, and he's supposed to be a Christian, when I walked out of his office, I said, dear Lord, I'm glad you taught me how to rest. Now, I don't think there's any 147 pounds that could get much tireder than this 147 pounds. I flew 20 hours last week in the dark. 3 o'clock, 2:30 twice, and 12, sure I was tired. Shoulders were tired, arms were tired. Eyes were tired, but I just knelt down by the side of the place where I was to stretch this weary form and said, dear Jesus, I'm accepting the invitation. You said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. And I said, Lord, I've labored today and I'm heavy laden. I claim your sweet promise. And he said, son, get in the bed before you go to sleep. Brother Wagg, that's right. 4 o'clock in the morning, he said, go ahead, son. I'm going to give you some sweet rest. In 2 hours, I was up and gone again. Folks, you can't find that kind at the drugstore. These modern pills and miracle drugs just don't have it, boys. But Jesus Christ has a miracle pill he'll give you, and I've just preached it, the gospel. That's what you need tonight. More than you need your next breath, you need that sweet peace. Today, strange as it may seem, my mind raced across 36 years. And I looked in the face of a girl by the name of Sunny in Baylor University. She came from a hard life. She had no home. She highwayed from the East Coast all the way to Waco in order to get in school. She talked to President Patty Neff, who was the president of Baylor at that time, and was a rather rigid disciplinarian. And I'll say Baylor was better off then than she is now. Amen. Oh, that's right. You smoked on the campus, you got expelled from school. Now then, we've got hoodlums and hippies and mop tops running our schools. I believe we need a revival of some discipline. If the teachers have got more sense, and the Board of Trustees got more sense than a bunch of young'uns that come to the campus, why don't they run the school? Yeah. And if Mother and Daddy have more sense than the kids in the home, why don't they run the home? Yeah. I'm not through. If the preacher's got more sense about operating the church, why didn't he run the church and rule the church? God put him there to do it. The Bible said if he rules well the house of God, the church of God, he'll be thought worthy of double honor. This whole world needs to be governed by the governor of this universe. And he uses men to do it. Sonny came. She went to the president and said, sir, I'm a poor girl. I've lived way off in the world, but I want to come to this school. I've had no discipline and no training. President Neff, in his tender heart, said, all right, we'll get you work. She started working in Burleson Hall, the girls' dormitory. And I happened to be going by Burleson Hall every once in a while because there was somebody there that I was sort of interested in. And I met Sonny. I went back through. I heard her seeking to play the piano. And yet she didn't get over her wicked ways. President Neff read the riot act to her and said, you'll have to leave Baylor. Never return at our recommendation. Your conduct has not been good. And so we had two friends, especially in the dormitory, and they said, Lester, if you ever prayed, pray tonight. When you meet with the boys over at your rooming house, pray tonight. Sonny's coming to our fellowship meeting and our prayer meeting at 10:15. They told me that in the library that night. And I said, all right. And so sure enough, we got down and prayed. The next morning we went after I'd milked my old cow at 6 o'clock. And 7:45 I went over to what we call the bent knee hour or the master's minority. And it was always a minority. You want a minority, you go to a prayer meeting. It'll be there. Always will be present, the minority, if you go to a prayer meeting. So I went in, and all these two precious girls came skipping down the hall and said, Lester, it happened last night. I said, tell me. Said, Sonny came to the prayer meeting and said she gave her heart to Christ. And Kitty said, I got something in my hand. And said she wrote it and left it on my little old desk in my room and pulled out this morning early. And it was this. Restless feet. Never still, never stopped, never will, till the final journey's ended and the restless souls ascended home. Here today and gone tomorrow, knowing both of joy and sorrow. Different now, I've seen the light. Christ will guide me through the night home. And Sonny, I believe, got saved, even though she was not reinstated in the institution. I have no idea where she is tonight. But she said, I've had restless feet. Do you have restless feet? Restless feet always come from a restless heart.
Amen.
Bow your heads while we pray. While every head is bowed tonight. Every head is bowed tonight. I want you to pray now. I wish we could spend more time in prayer. But every soul that knows how to get in touch with heaven, pray now. I know our audience, much of it's tired tonight, but I want to ask you, are you tired of sin? Are you really tired of sin? In a moment, we're going to sing again, and I'm going to ask you to bow your heads. Just pray until I tell you to lift your head. I'm going to give an invitation tonight. Many of you are suffering, carrying burdens too heavy for the flesh to bear. Some of you are mentally upset and disturbed. My God will supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. What a friend we